men and women right now saying, man, I have a heart that needs, again, a new heart. I have corruption inside that I can't fix. I need to be saved from myself. That is exactly who Jesus Christ came to save. This is who he came to forgive and heal and restore and give life. You say, I'm a failure. Me too. It's the whole point of Jesus Christ. And then this, because in our slavery to sin, only Jesus can set us free.
Hey listeners, welcome back to our series in Matthew chapter 5. We are so glad to have you with us here today for a topic that is not always the easiest. But since Jesus didn't skip over it, we aren't skipping over it either. Today's message is called The Sin of Lust is Serious. Yesterday's message dove into the reality of lust, how it destroys marriages, families, and individuals, how adultery and pride fuel sexual sin. Hey, listener, follower of Jesus, friend, where is your heart today? What are you desiring? Are you running after Jesus and taking his words seriously? Or are you writing him off and choosing to live your own way? Today's message is all about how to fight back against the sin of lust. Let's get back into Matthew chapter 5. Here's Pastor Robbie.
Porn among women is also increasing at alarming rates. Young women too, fantasizing and accessing porn and other means of having adultery in their heart and letting lust take over, again, portions of their lives. What's also devastating now, more and more young women face dating a young man who's currently addicted to porn. That is a horrific start to a relationship that is supposed to be in purity and in stability and in the pursuit of Christ. Studies show that porn use now is causing men to be less confident in engaging with women. Young men are less confident in their physical appearance due to their porn use. They're more self-conscious, they're insecure due to the devastation of their lust. In fact, some young men are not willing to put themselves at risk with a real woman at all. What a disaster. Of course, with the increase of porn use comes the collapse of the family. Men are so caught up in the sin of lust, they have disappeared in terms of their God-given roles as husbands and fathers. They are so consumed with the sin that is eating at their brains and hearts and ravaging their souls, they're no longer able to be who God intended them to be, again, as leaders and examples, and those who are to love those who are closest to them. It's absolutely disastrous. Porn also kills what is intended for true beauty, purity, and satisfaction. Increasing evidence is linking active porn use to causing hearts to be deadened. Young men and women are becoming desensitized to what God designed as beautiful in his sight, where sex, a creation of God in the context of a man and woman in marriage, designed to be absolutely beautiful and glorious. Now there's such an abuse of mind and heart and a degradation of the soul in terms of the sin. There's no sensitivity at all right now. They're deadened and callous, no feeling. Why do you think Viagra's been so popular in the last several decades? And drugs like it. Because we need medicine now to allow again men and women to get to a place that should be there in the first place in purity before Christ. It's been so killing us from all over the place. That's why Jesus brings messages like this to say, man, this is such an important thing to recognize. If we let the sin into our hearts, it's gonna ravage our lives. And listen, the pornography thing, that's one aspect and segment of society in terms of lust. Just one in our current day. I spend some time on it to shine light on it. Then there's things like social media, which overlap, but things like social media that are so highly addictive, often saturated with so many opportunities to lust if you want to. I had Instagram on my phone for 3 minutes several years ago before I realized this isn't going to be good for my heart on multiple levels. One of them being images I don't want to look at. Three men, you know, they're saying, well, Robbie, you're pretty weak. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. And it's not worth it to me. Like, I looked at it for 3 minutes saying, this isn't worth the risk and other things too, just distraction, wasting time. Now, that's my decision. You have to make your decision. There's too much at stake for me. Right here, right now, husband, again, father, pastor, friend, brother, son, there's just too much at stake. I don't have the time to waste right now. It's not worth it to me. Maybe it is to you, but you have to be super, super careful in what you're doing and what the Holy Spirit's saying. And the world that we live, again, is this helping my heart or hurting my heart? And if in the end you can say it's helping your heart more than hurting, well, then God bless you. That's great. But if you can admit it's hurting me more than helping me in terms of passion for Christ, following him, serving him, and being pure before him, if it's hurting you more, I don't know, man. I don't think it's worth it. The apps that are specifically designed in our day to addict you and to steal your heart and ruin your joy in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's pretty hard to authenticate. That's pretty hard in my mind to justify. An app specifically designed to promote ungodliness, unrighteousness, and idolatry, and we're gonna justify it on every level. I struggle with that. I struggle with that. Men and women here right now too, like all the things that are going on, and just maybe I'll speak to men in a little bit, I already have, but women too, like just like the role of what's happening, all these young women these days that are placing pictures of themselves in the specific desire that men will lust after them. Yeah, like what is that? We have to be so, so careful. And the different novels we're reading to fantasize, the TV shows we're watching, women, and the series that we engage our mind and hearts with and binge with the root desire of lusting after, again, pictures and men or whatever it is that's on that show. These are things we have to be so careful with, to admit to ourselves and say, is it worth it? I don't know how it is worth it. Wrecking our lives and desires for the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, it's become so common now, so common that it's like, well, everyone's doing it now. What about this too, right? So many sitting here right now and you're like, why don't I have affection for Christ? Why do I not want to sing to the Lord? Why do I have no hunger for the word? Why do I not serve in his church and love his kingdom? It's because your heart's infested with lust. That's why. Like, let's stop being so dumb. If our whole lives are consumed with sin, of course you have no appetite for Jesus Christ. You can't fill your life with sin at the same time worship Christ. You gotta worship him or not worship him. Like right now, some young men here right now, this is your answer. The reason your life is not going the way you want is because sin of lust is ravaging your heart and destroying your soul. This is what keeps you from Jesus Christ. You love sin more than Christ. And that is the very thing that's blocking true salvation from changing your life and the Holy Spirit filling your soul. At the end of the day, you have to love Jesus Christ more than you want a temporal, self-destructing, devastating lust for sin and pleasure and self. It's that simple and it's that big a deal. This is why Jesus brings, again, Matthew 5 to us today to expose the reality of what's happening within. Because this is about life and death, to recognize I'm drinking poison for my soul. Sin is reigning again in my body. And that's happening. What did you expect to happen? Do you expect love, joy, and peace? Of course not. That's not the way it works. God will not be mocked. He will not be mocked. I'm telling you, we're moving right into the heart of enemy territory today. Like right into the heart. So many. Trust me, I'm human. I understand the battle, the significance and the seriousness. I just wanna, again, like the seriousness of scripture. 2 Peter chapter 2 is a very powerful chapter. It's speaking of false teachers trying to lead new believers away from Christ and trying to destroy them by their false teaching. False teachers, irrational animals, creatures of instinct, born to be caught and destroyed, blaspheming about matters of which they are ignorant. Wow. This is God's word, New Testament. 2 Peter 2, they will also be destroyed in their destruction. Be careful who you follow. Like you're following the sins of the world. This is our end. Destruction, suffering wrong as they wage for their wrongdoing. They count it pleasure to revel in the daytime. That's our world. They are blots and blemishes, reveling in their deceptions. That's our world. While they feast with you, they have eyes full of adultery, insatiable for sin. They entice unsteady souls. They have hearts trained in greed. Accursed children. New Testament, 2 Peter right here. Wow. God, you can't say God didn't tell me. Yes, he did. Matthew 5, yes, he did. No ignorance today. Like just saying it for what it is and seeing it for what it is as well. The sobering reality of lust. Number two, I must understand then the severe response to lust. Look at verse 29. If your right eye then causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it's better that you lose one of your members than your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body go into hell. Wow, 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 wow. I mean, Jesus, he is full of grace. He is so full of grace. Listen, he is also full of truth. Sometimes we forget that. Look at how truthful he is right here to the people that he is preaching to. I want to break down these verses in this way on the screen beside me and behind me here. When it comes to the sin of lust, what are we to do? Number one, my response must be drastic. My response must be drastic. Cut it out, cut it off, tear it out, cut it off. Jesus refers to the eye. Why? Because the eye here is the source of the lust. He refers to the hand because it's the hand that steals. Again, when I commit adultery, adultery is stealing something, taking that which is not my own. It does not belong again to them. If this is the sin that we're engaged with, Jesus says, cut out your eye, cut off your hand. Now, obviously, Jesus is not saying here that we should literally cut out our eye or cut off our hand. You cut out your right eye, you still have your left. You cut off your right hand, you still have your left hand. What he is saying, though, listen, hear me. He is saying that we should take drastic measures to promote purity within our lives. What are we willing to do in the seriousness with what Jesus is teaching us today? What will happen is the world around us will say, oh, don't worry about it, man. Just relax. It's not that big a deal. Everyone's doing it. And friends, by the way, sometimes Christian friends around us, because of their own struggle with sin and they don't want to feel the conviction, they'll be like, oh, you're so intense, man. Just ease up. It's not that big a deal. No. Jesus would say absolutely otherwise. Jesus stands in the face of this and he says, it is a massive deal. Jesus says, you take every measure you need to remove the sin that is sucking the life out of you, because it's about life and death. That's what Jesus is saying today. It is better to have one eye removed, metaphorically speaking, or one hand removed, than to have both and go into hell. You know, I remember a movie from several years ago. It was called Fireproof by the church in the Atlanta area, the series of movies that I think most of them are excellent. And so it's a bit old now, but it had a scene which I've always remembered and I think is so powerful on this right here, the drastic steps that is taken. So instead of describing it for you today, I thought, hey, let's just play it. So just watch this on the screen here. I think two reactions right away to that right there. You say, well, that seems over the top. Does it? Does it? He looks like an idiot in front of his neighbor. Isn't that the point? You're so intense, man. How come you're taking this so seriously? Relax, man. Like, you're really going to destroy that thing? That costs a lot of money. This is the problem. This is the issue. Let me ask you this. If your phone is being used to send you down the path of hell, is it worth to keep your phone? Like, honestly, if your phone is being used to ravage your soul and poison your heart and ruin your best relationships, is it worth it? I say no. I say no. Like, some people I know, like, going back to a flip phone for this reason. You're like, that's archaic. Maybe it's wise. Maybe it's the best thing they could do. That's what Jesus is saying. Whatever it takes, it's better to go in, you know, and lose your phone than your whole body going to hell. This is what he's saying. It seems so drastic. People, I like what in that clip too, like his neighbor's watching. He does that anyways. He looks over, he probably feels like a bit of, this is so weird. And he smashes it again anyways. That's such a good visual for us to understand. Whatever it takes, that's how precious purity is within our lives. Our response must be drastic. Our whole family has accountability software and devices and computers. My wife gets reports and others as well. Just things you do, steps of moral offenses to say, man, it's not worth it. God, again, they're not foolproof, always ways around them, but they are helpful. Life is too precious. Help us, Lord. This world is so dark. My response must be drastic. Secondly, my sin must be detested. This is so important theologically, men, women, children, okay? When Jesus says, you know, cut it out, tear it, or cut it off, right? What happens? Why would you cut out your eye and cut off your hand, metaphorically speaking? Because you want to get rid of them because you hate it. You hate what it's doing to you. This is so important here too, right? We must hate our sin. You must see the sin for what it is. That's what happened with Kirk Cameron acting as Caleb there, right? He saw the sin. I love even his eyes. He's staring at the image and what it's trying to do. It's trying to ruin his marriage. It's trying to ruin his life. It's trying to ruin his relationship. And he sees it and you see the intensity of his eyes and he's like, no more. I love that. He recognized the lie is, hey, feel good. The lie is have pleasure. The lie is everyone's doing it. The lie is you'll feel good for a moment. But there's not one percentage of sin that is good. Zero, zero. All sin does is wreck us and ruin us. Sin equals death. When you see the sin for what it is, you see the temptation, you see the lie, and at that moment, you're not here to bless me, you're here to ruin me. You will not bless my marriage or ruin my marriage. You will not ruin my relationship with Christ. You will not sabotage my life. You will not ruin my family and my relationship with God. You will not do that because that's what's at stake. That's when you grab the bat and you're ready to go. That's when you're ready to say, whatever it takes, you will not get in the way of the most important thing in my life. Again, my love for Jesus Christ and all the blessing that flows from him. That's what Jesus is saying. And the world will say, wow, man, that's super intense. Jesus says, my will be done. Jesus says, I'm not of this world. And the wise man or woman right now is not fighting what's being suggested. They are now considering the ways that they can move towards a life that honors the Lord Jesus Christ because too much is at stake. My response must be drastic. My sin must be detested. And lastly, my sin unchecked leads to death. My sin unchecked, unrepented of, leads to death. Again, we're in the heart of the enemy's territory today in a big way. I understand that. And it's important for us to understand how many are in death row right now due to lust. How many are in death row? In both verses, Jesus makes it very clear. His words, not mine. The sin of lust, unrepented of, the sin of lust, I'm gonna be as clear as I can, unrepented of, where there's indifference, it leads straight to hell. The foolishness of our world does this. The foolishness and the unbelief of our world says, I will take temporal, sinful, lustful pleasure now and experience eternal judgment forever. It's amazing how stupid that sounds when you say it out loud. A temporal desire to fulfill the lusts of my flesh and risk all eternity in judgment. Is it going to be worth it? No, no, no. The godly wisdom says right now, I forego the loss of temporal, sinful, lustful pleasure, which by the way, it's a win-win because when you're in Christ and you obey Christ, the blessings that come, man, the blessings that come, it's unbelievable. I will forego temporal, lustful, sinful pleasure in the hopes and the reality of eternal joy and victory and his glorious pleasure for the rest of all eternity. That's what Jesus is offering for those who have faith to believe. It's the battle of wisdom and foolishness, or foolishness and wisdom. Let me just remind you this, 2 Peter 2, I put that verse up before. I just want a couple of verses later. Look at this, false teachers. They are waterless springs and mists driven by a storm. For them, the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved. Wow, wow, wow. For speaking loud boasts of folly, they entice by sensual passions of the flesh those who are barely escaping, likely new believers, and from those who live in error, who don't know Christ. Look at this, okay? This is so important for our world today. They promise, the world promises them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. That's our world. That's exactly what's happening. We are promised freedom at every term. We're promised freedom by those who themselves are under slavery and corruption to sin. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. This is the lie of our world. All these promises of freedom and joy and pleasure, they themselves are imprisoned in their own sin and absolute corruption. I'm so thankful for how clear the word of God is. Tough today. Listen, I would not be faithful to God's word and I would not be truly loving if I did not urgently warn you according to God's word, this type of sin. I mean, right now, there's some here who need to hear this right now. This type of sin, the sin of lust, if it is unconfessed, unrepented of, there's no conscience, you do not care, you're indifferent to it, you have to understand what the Bible says. For that person, the sin of lust leads to death. Sin unconfessed, unrepented of, according to the words of Jesus Christ, leads to death. And that's the bad news. And that's serious news. My prayer even this week is some of us will be feeling that physically, even praying that some will be trembling in the fear of God, in the holiness of God, in the righteousness of God, in the glory of God, in the will of God, in the word of God, when we have taken so lightly and casually the sin that has been wrecking us and destroying us and hurting us so greatly. The bad news is sin leads to death, but here's the good news, ready? Jesus came to save us from such sin. That is the gospel. Jesus Christ is the answer to all of this sin of lust or any other sin that we've ever committed. Let's get some gospel hope and freedom on the screen first here, because this has been a heavy message and I'm praying there's a lot of conviction. Conviction is good. Not looking for guilt, but conviction is good and of the Holy Spirit. But let us remind ourselves here, if we're loaded down, Jesus is the answer to any and all sin, okay? Why? Because in our guilt, Jesus gives us grace. Jesus is the only source of grace. For while, Romans 5, for while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Remember, if the thief on the cross can be saved at the last moments of his life, after a life of corruption and murder and thievery, and he's on the cross, he looks beside in a moment of faith and says, Jesus, today, remember me in paradise. And Jesus says, remember me in your kingdom. Jesus, today you will be with me in paradise. If that guy can get saved, you can too. Amen. No one is too far gone from the grace and the mercy and the love that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, Jesus promises in our filth, right? In our sin of lust, we have filthy robes, disgusting. That's why Christ came. Christ came, he says, I want all your filthy robes. Here are my robes of righteousness. Again, we went through a couple of weeks ago. That is what Jesus, he takes our sin, we get his righteousness, all because of his grace and love and mercy, his forgiveness and his kindness to us. Listen, in our failure, you say, I failed. Me too. All of us fail. In our failure, Jesus forgives. Luke 5, Jesus says, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. The whole reason Jesus came was to save sinners like me and like you. The key though, the Pharisees did not admit they needed Christ. The Pharisees saw themselves as righteous. I don't need God. I don't need him for this. I don't need a savior in this way. Jesus came to save those who know they need to be saved. Men and women right now saying, man, I have a heart that needs, again, a new heart. I have corruption inside that I can't fix. I need to be saved from myself. That is exactly who Jesus Christ came to save. This is who he came to forgive and heal and restore and give life. You say, I'm a failure. Me too. It's the whole point of Jesus Christ. And then this, because in our slavery to sin, only Jesus can set us free. John 8, if the Son has set you free, you will be free indeed. Indeed. 100% true. If you have been saved in the Lord Jesus Christ and you believe in him by grace through faith, he will set you free. A very important moment today, right? Because the reality, I know the stats of the sin of lust in the world, and I know the stats of that in the church. Right now, overflow here, or whatever it is, right now in this room, dozens and dozens of people, men and women, are battling this issue right now. That's just a fact. You know it. I mean, the Holy Spirit shot a laser beam right on your heart and life right now too. Here's the thing. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to leave this building and leave this room and just pretend it didn't happen? Or are you going to man up, men? Maybe for the first time ever, take responsibility, confess the sin, run to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, today is the day that this ends. Today is the day that I will not continue to live a lie and ruin my marriage, ruin my friendships, ruin relationships, ruin my future. Today's the day by God's grace and love, because he loves you so much. He brings messages like this in this text because he knew 2,000 years later, I would need to hear this today, right now, at this day, at this time, in this country, in our lives, right now, as a message of hope and freedom and forgiveness and grace and mercy and the wonderful, inexhaustible love of God. I pray I've done my part, but now you have to do your part. You have to decide if this is gonna make a difference or if you're gonna let it go in one ear and out the other and just move on. A lot of prayers have been up this week for moments like this. that the Lord would release people from bondage, open eyes to the seriousness of it, and point them to a way of light and love and beauty and blessing. That choice, though, is up to you now. And I beg the Lord for obedience within his church. By the way, so we are, I'm just asking us to sit still, but we are moving towards the Lord's Supper now. Just think of the seriousness of the Lord's Supper today. And each time that we share it together, the remembrance of the death of Jesus Christ. Can I just say this too? Like, if you're here today in the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11, we are to examine our hearts before the Lord's Supper. And it also indicates the reasons in scripture, the reasons some of you have become sick and died is because you have treated the Lord's Supper with irreverence. You can read it yourself, 1 Corinthians 11. That's very sobering. People were dying because they failed to treat the Lord's Supper in a way of reverence. If you're here today and you have this sin of lust running through your life and it's unrepented of and unconfessed, would you be extremely careful with the Lord's Supper? If you're living a hypocritical life and there's double-mindedness and you know it, just be very careful of how you handle the Lord's Supper. And maybe today's a great day just to let it pass. However, let me say this. If you have repented of, if you have confessed your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive again you and me our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, then by all means, come and receive the symbols of the body and blood of Jesus Christ with incredible thanksgiving and joy and humility because of what Jesus Christ has done. Just take it so seriously today because he is worthy of this in our lives. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ today, the Lord's Supper, it's not for you then right now. Obviously, it's for those who love Christ, who are in relationship with Jesus Christ, who have been forgiven in Jesus Christ. It is not meant for those who don't know him, but we invite you to be saved by him, to know his love and to be forgiven of any and all sin by believing in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's a serious time, church. I know reverence is a lost art in the church. Most today, we have to bring it back. We have to see the holiness of God, the sinfulness of ourselves, and be filled with such gratitude and humility before him. Today's an opportunity to do that. Please, please, please help us, Lord, take it so seriously today. Let's bow our heads quietly, reverently. Ushers, the communion servers, you can come forward right now. And let us just pray. Father, I do pray so much that there is a sense of reverence right now before you. I pray that there is a sobriety among us in what we're about to do. The Lord's Supper reminding us of the agony, the punishment, the wrath that Jesus Christ bore on our behalf and ultimately his death and crucifixion for our sins, for my sins, for our sins. That is a massive deal. Your death, Jesus, brought us life. Your blood brought our cleansing. Your mercy brought our forgiveness. Your punishment, Lord, brought us purity. Please, Father, would you find in men, women, and children today a great sense of a vision of you and your love, your death, your sacrifice. So lead us now, Lord, in this important time. In Jesus' name.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We are so glad you're here. And without you, Living the Light wouldn't exist. Our passion and mission here is to see radical transformation in God's people through the revelation of God's truth. We believe that through the faithful and passionate preaching of God's word, disciples will be made and the church will be strengthened. Do you want to be a part of that mission? If so, check out our website at liveinthelight.ca for ways to give or give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's all for today. Hope you can join us again next time on Live in the Light.